Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening service of worship. I'll begin with some of the announcements from the announcement sheet from this morning. This week is a week of prayer for mission, and there are leaflets on the table in the vestibule, if you haven't already got one, with prayer points for each week, each day of the week, and in relation to mission work in France and in Spain and elsewhere. Tuesday evening is our midweek meeting, and that's at 8 o'clock in the church hall. It's the seventh session of Discipleship Explored. The title for this session is Rejoicing in Christ, and it's based on Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. Then next Lord's Day, Sabbath school classes meet at 11, and then the morning worship service at 12 noon, and not in the church hall, but in a meeting here in the church building, and leaving every other pew empty. And session room also available if anyone needs to have more space. The session room is available with the speaker in the session room. Next Sabbath, then the prayer time in the evening, 10 past 7, using the front pews of the church building, and then the evening service will be at 7:30 here in the church building. Today is the last day for the Ukraine appeal called for by the Relief Committee, and then also in connection with the Homes for Ukraine initiative, we've been asked to consider if any of our church property would be available to be used for housing refugees. And so elders and deacons are asked to meet just briefly at the end of this service to decide on that. And those I think are the announcements. If the elders and deacons could come up to this area to my right of the pulpit, and we can have a chat there after the service. Well, we come to worship God together now this evening, and we do so singing praise. Psalm 86A is our opening psalm. Psalm 86, the A version, and the tune we use is Retreat number 27. We sing stanzas 4 through to 9, 86A, singing from stanza 4 through to stanza 9. Stanza 6 says, "For you are great, the only God. Your works of wonder bring you fame. Lord, teach your ways. I'll walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. O Lord, my God, with all my heart I'll thank you, and your name extol forever. Great's your love to me. You from grave's depths have saved my soul." And the psalmist is praying that God would unite his heart, that he would be wholehearted about being a servant of the Lord. And he delights in the great love of the Lord shown towards him that has saved him from the depths of the grave. So we praise the God who saves, and the God whose ways are great. Psalm 86A, singing stanzas 4 through to 9, the tune 27. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you tonight in worship. We acknowledge that you are great, you are the only God, and we thank you for your great works, O Lord. We rejoice that you are a God with whom there is grace, that you're a God who demonstrates great patience. We thank you that you're slow to anger, but that you're rich in grace. And we thank you that your truth abounds and your faithfulness abounds. And Lord, we rejoice in the God that you are, and we learn of you in the scriptures, and we thank you for all that we do understand about you. But Lord, we recognize that we appreciate little of your greatness, and we pray that you will increase our understanding and increase our appreciation for all that you are in yourself and all that you are to your people. Hear us, O Lord, in our prayers this evening. We ask forgiveness for our sins. We pray that you'll be with us as we turn to your word. Show us your truth in the scriptures. Help us, O Lord, to seek to align our own lives with the directions that you give us there in your truth. We thank you, Father, for all the instructions, all the directions that are there in the scriptures. And we pray, O God, that when we hear your voice and when we know what you want, we pray, O Lord, that we will set our own hearts upon those things, that we will desire them, knowing that these things will please our Father in heaven. Lord, hear our prayers now and continue with us as we seek to draw near to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us read together from God's word. If you'll turn to the New Testament book of Philippians, and we read some verses in the third chapter of Philippians. We read from verse 7 through to the end of the chapter. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 7. Let us hear this, the word of God. This is page 1044 in our Pew Bible. Philippians 3 at verse 7. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And we end our reading there at the close of Philippians chapter 3. I want to speak on a part of what we've read here this evening, and the verses I want to speak on are from 12 through to 16. And within these verses, Paul is writing about the importance of making progress in the things of God. He uses the phrase pressing on several occasions, and he talks about reaching forward. And his imagery is athletic imagery. He has in mind the comparison of the Christian life to running a race, and there are various ways in which that comes across. And I want to think first of all this evening about what Paul impresses upon his readers and upon us, that in this race we're not finished yet. Each of us here this evening, if we're in the Christian race, we can know that we are not finished yet. We have not reached the finish line. And Paul emphasizes here that he does not see himself as having already finished the race. We find that in verse 12 and also in verse 13. In verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And he's referring back to what he writes about in verses 10 and 11. He doesn't yet know the power of Christ's resurrection in the way that he wants to. He hasn't yet reached perfection, and he's not yet ready to go into some kind of spiritual retirement. And he emphasizes this again in verse 13 and uses even stronger imagery there. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have taken hold of it. But," he says, "one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Paul says, I haven't taken hold of perfection. I'm not there yet. And in writing these kinds of things, he may well be referring to false teachers, and they claimed that they had attained perfection. And they did so by a combination of, on the one hand, trusting in Christ, and on the other hand, trusting in their own obedience to certain laws. Well, Paul says, I haven't arrived. I haven't reached perfection. I don't consider myself to be right up there as far as anyone can go. And Paul doesn't claim for himself the things that others were claiming for their selves. He may be thinking of false teachers, but on the other hand, he may be writing to encourage his readers to see that he is in exactly the same position as they are, because they knew themselves that they weren't perfect. And Paul is saying, well, you shouldn't think that I am something that you are not. And I see myself as someone who is far from perfect. And so he is reassuring to the Philippians in the things that he writes. Paul isn't seeking to put himself up on some high level as if he's looking down on everyone else, but he's writing about what he hasn't achieved and what he hasn't reached as yet. And so William Hendrickson says that Paul completely rejects the idea that even now the race is as good as won. If you watch any of the World Indoor Athletics Championships that are on at the minute, sometimes you'll see that just right at the end of a heat, an athlete who is quite confident that they've done enough to qualify for the next round, they'll take their foot off the gas and they'll just coast over the last few strides. Paul says, that's not where I am. I'm not in that position. When we lived in Wishaw, one of the probably the three most famous residents in Wishaw, one of them was Tom McKean, who was a great 800 meter runner in the 1980s, and he had finished up really by the time that we arrived in Wishaw in the early 1990s. But Tom McKean was a superb athlete, and he was an 800 meter runner, and he could beat anybody on his day. But he had a really annoying habit that when he got to major championships, he would do what he thought was enough to qualify for the next round, and he would slow down over the last 10 meters. And on several occasions, he was overtaken by people, and he didn't finish high enough up in his race to qualify for the next round. And all he had to do was run that extra 10 meters, and he would have qualified no problem whatsoever. But on several occasions, Tom McKean took his foot off the gas, and he missed out on the opportunity of winning medals in huge athletics events. And Tom McKean lived in the Glen Road in Wishaw. And after he retired as an athlete, he went into the police, and he was a policeman in Bells Hill. And I remember reading in the Wishaw Press on one occasion about a criminal who had committed some offence and tried to run away, but it was Tom McKean that was running after him. And he didn't get away. The Apostle Paul wasn't like Tom McKean. He didn't see that he didn't need to put any effort in anymore, that he had done enough, and now he could just coast through and all would be well. Paul doesn't allow himself to ease off in any way. He knows that his race is not yet over, and he needs to keep running and pressing on in that race. And today, those of us who are Christians, we need to grasp that too. We have not reached perfection. We have not yet become what God wants to make of us here in this world. And the good work that the Lord Jesus Christ has begun within us, he has not finished that work. It has not yet reached completion. And so that's the first thing. We're not finished yet. In the Christian race, we are not finished yet. And then Paul has a lot to say in the second place about pressing on, or about reaching forward. And he describes his own attitude and his own approach to the Christian life as being one of pressing on. He uses that phrase in verse 12, and he uses it again in verse 14. And this spirit of pressing on is something that Paul sees as essential in the Christian life. And What he is writing about here, it involves our attitude to the things that are behind us. It involves our attitude to the things that we're facing now and to the things that are yet to come. Think first of all about the past. And Paul says that here is his approach, forgetting those things which are behind. That's what Paul had to do as a Christian. He had to forget the things that were behind, the things that were in his past. Paul was not someone who was always dwelling upon the past. And Christians should not be those who are always dwelling upon the past. And there are various different ways in which Christians can be held back by failing to forget what is behind. One way is that we can dwell upon the good things of the past. And that can be a hindrance to us. If we don't deliberately move on from those good things of the past. And we need to have a Christian testimony that is an up-to-date testimony. That it's not one that dwells on things that happened years ago. 2 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. That's not the way our faith should be. James Boyce comments, if your Christian testimony is entirely taken up with what God did for you 30 or 40 years ago, or if you are constantly talking about the good old days when God's blessing on your life seemed great, then you are looking to the past. You can never do that and move forward. Paul wasn't looking to the past. He was forgetting what was behind. He was forgetting the good things that were behind. He was forgetting the achievements of the past. Now, it's not that it's a bad thing to remember God's former blessings, but it is a bad thing if you dwell upon those. And that's really all you have, the glory days of the past. That's not how Paul was, forgetting what is behind. And he had to forget the triumphs of the past. But if you think of the man that Saul of Tarsus was, you'll realize also that he had to forget the bad things that were in his past, the failures of the past. He had to forget those things as well. Paul was a man who would have had many, many regrets for the things that he had done prior to his conversion. The number of people's lives that he ruined, the woman that he caused to be widows, those people that he put in prison, those businesses that he ruined, and he had so much. So much evil that he had done against the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to forget the things that were behind. He had to believe that the forgiveness of the Lord was real and that it covered all of his past sins. Paul could have been paralyzed by regret. Focusing on those things that he had done that had hurt others so much. And he had to forget those things that were behind. And so it is for Christians. All of us have things that we wish we hadn't said or we hadn't done, or things that we've left undone that we wish we had got round to doing those things or saying those things. But we have to forget what is behind. Even things like bereavements can lead us to live in the past rather than living in the reality of the present. We cannot ignore the loss that we experience in times of bereavements, but we mustn't live in a pretend world where we imagine that we're still communicating with those people. We imagine that they're still with us when they aren't still with us. And we have to forget what is behind, not live in the past. Another way in which we need to forget the things that are behind is in terms of avoiding any harboring of resentment against others for the way they have treated us. And the effect that that has when you hold on to a grudge against someone or a resentment against someone, it just means that you're stuck there in that place, and the world moves on, everything around you changes, and there you are still holding on to these grievances. And you see it sometimes in the news, and how people just seem to have given their whole lives over to something bad that happened to them in the past, and they haven't been able to move on from that incident. Well, Paul had many things that he needed to move on from, and he talks about forgetting those things which are behind. These are the things that he says in regard to the past, you have to forget what is behind. And then in regard to the present, he tells us that we need to be like him and we need to be pressing on. Paul says, having forgotten those things that are behind, what he does is that he reaches forward to those things which are ahead. He's reaching forward, he's straining forward. And that's what he's doing in the present. And there's an exertion written about there. Paul is really putting the effort in. He's not relying on the momentum that he's built up over the years, but he has still got his foot down and he is pressing on. And each day of life that God gave to him, he set about that task of pressing on in the things of God, straining forward, reaching forward to what was yet to come. And when you're running, you have to make a constant effort to keep going. And so it is in the Christian life. And it is in striving forward towards those things that we have never yet attained. That is how we retain a spiritual freshness. And every Christian faces the danger of becoming spiritually stale. And we can get into a state where we really don't have much awareness of God having spoken to us in the scriptures, and there may not be much reality of connecting with God in our own prayers. And we're in need of God's reviving work. And God needs to stir us up, to put a new enthusiasm within us. And we need to have this pressing on. We can't be content just to be to have reached where we have reached. The writer to the Hebrews warns of the danger of drifting away. Hebrews 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And we're to be pressing on rather than drifting away. So in the present, Paul writes about how he is pressing on. He's putting that effort in to keep going forward. He's reaching forward. And in regard to the future, he speaks about the prize that he's that he is heading towards. And in verse 12, he says about how he presses on in order to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had laid hold of him. And Paul knew there was a purpose for which Christ had saved him on the Damascus road. And he wants to keep that purpose in mind and remember all his days, there's a reason why I've been saved. And he speaks of it in verse 14, and he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul looks forward to what awaits him in the future. 2 Timothy 4, he talks about what's in store for him, the crown of righteousness. And he looks forward to being crowned with that perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Looks forward to being like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In this life, he knows he'll not be able to say that he has arrived, that he has finished the race. But he knows that that will come. And in the Christian race, we know that there is a prize and that it is the greatest prize of all. And all the efforts that we make in this life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, these things will be worthwhile. And so we are enabled to press on because we know that the prize is so great. We forget what's behind and we don't look behind us, but we don't forget what lies ahead and we do look ahead and we do press on. And so Paul writes about the race that he's in and he writes about pressing on. And then the third thing I want to speak about is about maturity. And a big thing that is often emphasized in athletics events is experience. And maturity and experience are very important things. And Paul writes here about maturity. He didn't believe that there were any perfect Christians on earth in his day, and he certainly didn't consider himself to be perfect. But what he did know was that there is such a thing as spiritual maturity, and he mentions this in verses 15 and 16. And he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And he's saying, in regard to the things that he's just been talking about, the importance of keeping pressing on, he is saying that that's the attitude that we need to have. And this is the way that a mature Christian will look at things, Paul is saying. The mature Christian is the one who is pressing on in the faith. The mature Christian is the one that is forgetting those things which are behind. The mature Christian is well aware of their sins, but they're pressing on towards the goal because it's all worthwhile. Now, sometimes we're not able to see in ourselves things that are obvious to others. And sometimes we can convince ourselves that something that is actually harmful to us, that it's not harmful at all, or that we can cope with it, or that it's only for a wee while and it'll be all right. And we can rationalize getting spiritually sidetracked in life. And all of us are more than capable of deceiving ourselves. Well, we should thank God for what Paul tells us here. Because God doesn't despair about us when we do those things. And we should take comfort from what Paul says in verse 15, where he says, "And if in anything you think otherwise, well, God will reveal even this to you." If you think something different from the things that Paul has been writing about, and writing about the need to press on, the need to forget the things that are behind, if you just don't see things that way, well, Paul says, if you think something different, God will reveal even this truth to you. And that should be a reassuring thing to us. All of us are capable of digging a hole for ourselves. And sometimes, if anyone points out to us that we're digging a hole for ourselves, we'll resent what they say. And we'll just give ourselves all the more forcefully to digging that hole. And we can be foolishly possessive about those harmful holes that we dig for ourselves. But thankfully, God is able to get through to us. God is able in one way or another to get through to us. And he is able to reveal to us the truth about our situation. And God can make it clear to us that we're wrong, that this is not the right way to go. And God can cause us to stop digging that hole for ourselves, to come out of that hole and to start going again in the right direction. It's never a good idea if you're in a race to stop and dig a hole. That really is very counterproductive. And where we do that in the Christian life, God will reveal even this to us. And he may have to. He may have to show this to us at times, that really we've been at a standstill in the Christian life, that we haven't been going forward at all, but we've been going downwards. And going downwards doesn't get you any closer to the finish line. It just makes it all the harder to get to the finish line. But Paul says, God will reveal even this to you. And so we should take heart. We shouldn't think that we'll never do anything like this, that we'll always agree with what the Bible says, we'll never have our own ideas, and God will never have to show anything to us where we've gone astray. Well, Paul didn't think that way, and he is confident that God is well able to show us the right way. The final verse the final verse in this section I'm speaking on is a call to maturity, to spiritual maturity. Paul says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." And he's talking there just about living up to what we have already attained. And that is the challenge for all of us who are Christians. Just to live out the things that we know to be true and not lose sight of those things. And we know, for example, that but for the grace of God to us in Christ, we would be bound for hell itself. We know that we owe everything to God in regard to our salvation. And we know that he has not saved us just so that we might eventually be with him in heaven. We know that he has left us here in this world so that we can function as salt and light in this world, that we are to be conformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know these things. We know this is what the Word teaches us. And we know that great special status that God has given to us, that we are those who are justified, we are those who are holy in the eyes of God, that we are those who have been adopted into his family. We know that there is no higher blessings than those that we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, well, you know these things. Well, just live up to these things. Just live them out and be what I have made you to be. Be yourself. Be your new self that I have caused you to become. You're a new person created in Christ Jesus, and just you be what I have made you to be. So you live up to what you already know to be true, and show your maturity in that. And so these are things that Paul calls us to in the Christian race. Realize we're not finished yet. There's a way to go, that we need to press on, and there is room for maturity. There is scope for us to be older and wiser in the faith than we are at present. And so let us heed these things that Paul writes, and let us be those that are reaching forward, not those who are looking to the past, but those who are reaching forward and striving to be what God has called us to be in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let us speak to God now in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious God, we return thanks to you for these words of Scripture. We thank you for the writings of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his experience of the Christian life and for how he was able to write things that are beneficial for Christians in all ages. And we praise you for what we have here about the importance of pressing on and reaching forward in the Christian faith. Help us, O Lord, to know that we still have a way to go and that we need to keep working out our salvation and striving to be what you have made us to be. Lord, help us to mature in the faith, and we pray that you will show us those things in which our attitudes are wrong or our lifestyle is wrong. Help us, O Lord, to repent of our sins and to find that better way. We give thanks, O God, for the prospect of being back in this church building next Lord's Day at our morning service. We do pray that that will be able to go ahead. We pray that that will all work out well, and that we would know benefits in being able to be in the same building. And Lord, we look to you for your goodness in all of that. We pray, Father, for believers in other parts of the world. We pray for those Christians in the land of Japan. We thank you for the Reformed Presbyterian work there in Japan. And we pray for believers there. We pray for encouragements in the different churches and mission works in Japan. We pray that you will provide them with those who can serve as elders within the churches. We pray, O Lord, for their efforts to reach their fellow Japanese people with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you will be pleased to use your servants there, and they would have encouragements in seeing other people receiving the good news and being becoming a part of your church there. We pray, Lord, for the Reformed Presbyterian work in Bangalore in India, and we thank you for the congregation there, and we pray for those people and the challenges that they face with so many people who believe something quite different surrounding them. We pray that their lives and their beliefs will stand out and will attract attention And we pray, O Lord, that there'll be those who will be curious and would want to learn more. And Lord, we pray that in that vast nation of India, that your cause would advance, that the Christian church will grow, and that many would leave their own false religions and find that in Jesus Christ there is truth and there is freedom. We pray, Lord, for the land of Ethiopia. We pray for the troubles that have been there in that land in recent times. Lord, we pray that there will be peace re-established. We pray for protection of your people in the midst of all that has been going on. We pray, Lord, that the shortage of food that has been experienced, that the relief that has been sent, that it will get to those who need it. And we pray for the cause of the gospel with all the movement of people and everything that has been so difficult. We pray, O Lord, that your truth will shine through in the midst of all of this, and that in some way that the things that have seemed so harmful for the gospel will actually turn out to be for good. And, O Lord, we pray for your working there in that land. We pray, Father, for wisdom, for the world leaders who are trying to bring about a change in the thinking of the Russian president. And Lord, we pray that there will be something that someone will say that will make a difference to his thinking. Lord, we pray that the violence and the loss of life that has been taking place, that will not just go on and on and on, but we pray, O Lord, that there will be a change of heart, a change of direction, and Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty and unexpected thing there. We pray, Father, for all those people in Ukraine who have left their own homes, and it was in the news today that they reckon there's 10 million people that have had to leave their homes, and 3.5 million have left the country. And Lord, we pray for those people and all they're experiencing. And we pray for those who have stayed behind and the awful things that they're experiencing. And Father, we pray that there will be mighty ways in which the cause of the gospel will shine through in all of this. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom and finding good ways of seeking to be a help to those who are in need. Lord, we look to you and we pray for your working in our lives. Help us in these days to press on and to reach forward, and help us, O Lord, not to be stuck in the past, but to believe that for the cause of Christ, the best is yet to come. Lord, we ask you'll forgive us for all our failings and all our standstills, and we pray, Lord, that you will so work in us that we will be making progress in the things of God. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we sing to God's praise a part of Psalm 37. The stanzas we sing are 22 through to 27. Psalm 37, stanzas 22 to 27. And the tune is Jackson 102. Stanza 22, because the Lord loves justice, he his saints won't leave alone. Forever kept, they're not like sons of sinners overthrown. The just inherit will the land and ever in it dwell. The just man's mouth will wisdom speak, his tongue will justice tell. And we're assured in stanza 25, the Lord will never leave the just within the wicked's hands, nor let the righteous be condemned when he in judgment stands. Let us join in praising God. 22 to 27, the tune 102, we stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction. Receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.